看见很多啊，这个那种节啊，这这些的可是是那，我们就说第六话讲这个的电话线、主频道、电话线等，你动画是没过的电话，谷歌罗当接上了，就是最最那罗的接上人当最哎呀的，嗯，电话过人当的第一过的啊，这个哎，跟谁谁第一过这些些。
So, good morning to everyone. Hey, so here we all sit, this group of people, and we're all the same in wanting happiness. And moreover, we're all the same in not wanting any kind of difficulties or any kind of problems at all. So today we're going to talk a little bit about how to achieve happiness.
Yeah,
So all of us are the same in not wanting to experience any kind of difficulties. However, when we look at our lives, then we really can see that our lives are filled with one difficulty and one unwanted circumstance after the other. And sometimes they just seem to rain down on us. Other times they seem to be a little bit separated and we have a bit of space between them. But in truth, we seem to meet difficulty and problem after difficulty and problem.
And to
look at this maybe in a more broad way or more general way. So within a country there are always some difficulties and problems, whether it's with people acting in a dishonest way or people wanting to harm others and the like. And so here we tend to be protected by the state. The state has the role to look at what's happening here and to try and prevent it. So there are people who are tasked with trying to investigate what the causes are of whatever problems the population are experiencing.
And so the
people who are tasked with investigating what's going wrong in society, if they're not getting down to the root of the problem, they may only be able to temporarily alter the situation, but they will not be able to solve whatever difficulty within society they are trying to eliminate because they haven't identified the root of the problem.
So this kind of
situation I'm describing, this is something we all know about. And so similar to this process in terms of society and the government and their representatives in trying to deal with difficulties and investigating, in terms of ourselves, it's very similar. When we have problems, we also try and resolve them, and we try and resolve them quickly and the like, although it tends to mainly be in the short term that we can eliminate them.
Mm.
And so we tend to, when we look at our own lives, we tend to see that when we meet these difficulties, not just day after day, but moment, hour after hour, we tend to be able to, many of them, eliminate them and resolve them, but we keep meeting similar kinds of difficulties again and again and again. So why is this? So similarly to the whether it's the police or the government, the politicians or government representatives, when they're looking at difficulties within society, they will look at who's experiencing it, how they're experiencing it, etc. So we need to investigate ourselves in a similar way to see when the problems that we are experiencing, where are they coming from? How am I experiencing them, etc.? So we need to try and investigate the source of the problems in some detail. When we investigate on a personal level our own experiences of difficulties and sufferings and the like, our basis of experience is actually our own minds. It's a minds where we experience a problem as a problem, a difficulty as a difficulty. So similarly, if we take some poison, hopefully nothing too strong, but we take some poison, or eat something that's not right for us, we're going to get ill. And so similarly, when we move away from looking at the body to the mind, the basis of experience of difficulties, if within our mind we have some poisons, they are going to lead to all our experience of difficulties. So when we investigate the mind, we come to identify three classes or three groups of what we call poisons. So we have one of ignorance, one of attachment, and one of So these poisons within our mind of ignorance, attachment, and anger, this is someone that everyone experiences and everyone has, whether one is religious or not, or adopts a particular philosophical view or not, makes no difference. These are poisons that we all have within our minds. When we look at our own minds and what motivates us, we all see these three minds present. So the ignorance, this confusion, this not knowing what to do, or anger, we tend to see this quite clearly. And anger, and this would include the whole class of anger, so frustration and annoyance and the like. And then the third one, attachment, this desirous attachment, this wanting. So this is something that when we investigate and look at our own minds, we'll all see that we experience. All the difficulties and problems that we experience actually come from these three classes of minds, or these three classes of poisons. All the difficulties we experience come from these three.
does meet Jangbo Chikje, meet Jangbo Chikje, Jumbo Jangbo Chikje. Dile does that old Chikje, that meet Nyombaroshi, Nyombaroshi, Gabus Mashing and Sumunguro, then meet Nyombaro Chikje. Then it does old in a desire on Jumbo meeting and Chikje. There's a meet Jumburo Chikje, there's a Sumunguro, Dinashi, Desha said the Milmas and Jumaro Chikje. Then I get it, Dile does.
Kondo said the Minyoman. So if we take we take three people and we can identify what this person's really intelligent, this person's average like most people, and this person's lesser. So in the same way we can take these three minds, and now maybe instead of talking about the mind of ignorance so much, we could talk about the mind of pride. So if we take the three minds of pride, attachment and anger, we would say that this mind of anger can be likened to the dullest person, and the person, the average of average capacity, average intelligence, would be similar to the mind of pride, and then this mind of attachment, this would be like the most intelligent person.
To
look at a different illustration, in our world today there are many violent conflicts and wars, unfortunately. And in these, of course, you have those who are actually doing the fighting and are engaged in this process of trying to kill others. Then you have those in the background who are making the decisions and the plans. They tend to be in a nice protected area. They're not in any particular danger themselves, but they are devising the strategies where others should try and kill other people and putting others in danger. So they seem to be in the background there, in a safe area away from the front line and without any physical danger, but sending others into the physical danger themselves.
Jesa denegi korong sungkyup chasang kor che ane korong sungkyup chasang kor dene korong le nyenga me ba che ane korong ge guju dang che denegi ane ma ja zhu le se ma dang chi tu a da de sha li di zhu cha de de sha de.
So this military leader who's in a nice protected place and away from the danger but sending others out to kill others, this person can be, in our analogies, can be likened to the mind of attachment. So this mind of attachment staying in this protected area and sending others out into danger.
Yeah.
So this military leader, they will be in an environment where they're not in any direct physical danger. They have plenty to eat, probably quite good food sometimes. They will have time to relax, to talk to their friends, and so they find themselves in quite a different situation from others.
Mangos Yarrow and the Kashi Horizon, Yan Pagasi, Yan Sushi, Rada, call it Yon Rajmato,
However, the person that they're sending to the front line and keeping at the front line there, this person has a very different experience. They are in constant danger, in constant fear, and their thoughts are going into how can they can kill this other person before, or these other people before their life is taken. So they're experiencing a constant state of anxiety and fear, very different from the person in the background. So the soldier in the front, other than wanting to harm others and fearing being harmed oneself, it's actually that's really what's dominating their minds. So again, now to make the analogy, to link the analogy to the minds. So we had the leader or the general that was like the mind of attachment, sending out others, and now the others that are being sent out and are in the state of danger and unhappiness and fear. This can be likened to the mind of anger. And now to look at the situation with our family and our circle of loved ones. So generally, we tend to have a harmonious relationship with our loved ones. But if, let's say, we're in a group together and someone is quite angry at that time, then of course this just destroys the harmony that is existing between people, and the happiness of the occasion of everyone being together gets destroyed by the presence of this mind of anger. We even see that when someone's angry, they may want to lash out at their loved ones, but lucky if they don't do this, they may actually then still engage in breaking things. So this is all done under this influence of this very strong mind of anger, that they actually start to break their own possessions. But sometimes the anger is so powerful and so dominates the mind so much that one actually engages in physical altercations with others. So also with this mind of with this mind of anger, if it can become so strong, one may actually do something really quite extreme and take one's own life whilst under this mind of under the control of this mind of anger. And yeah, all of us here in the room, we have experience of these minds, especially this mind of anger. This is something that we've all experienced, and we know how destructive it can be. So that this mind of anger is a destructive mind, this is something that's clear, and it's not something that one would really have some doubt over. And if, you know, if it's a mind that we don't want to experience, and because being angry is not pleasant at all, then how do to eliminate it, we need to identify where it comes from. And this is particularly important because anger is not something we only experience once or twice. It comes again and again and again. And again, and here just to say that this mind of anger, it has many classes, so like frustration and annoyance, we use all these words. So these minds, they come repeatedly. And so why do they come so often? And to see this, we need to see where anger comes from. Generally, if we think of particular situations, we could say, oh, I got angry because of this, or I got angry because of that. But we need to look a lot deeper than we generally do to see what the root of anger is and why we keep getting angry again and again, even if we say it was this reason, that reason, that reason. What is the root cause of all of those different reasons coming together? Anger, it comes from two minds lead to anger arising. So either this mind of attachment or this mind of pride. From these two, the mind of anger comes about. With the mind of pride that leads to anger, so how does this? How does anger come from pride? Because sometimes this doesn't seem seem to have such a clear link. So this mind of pride often comes from looking down at others and or competing with others, or how we relate to those that we maybe see as better of ourselves. We can puff ourselves up in this relationship. So sometimes when we look at others and ourselves in particular contexts, we can say, well, I'm doing better than them, or they're doing better than us. And this is fine. This is in accordance with reality. So to give an example with school children, so if one does better than another at school and they get higher marks, for example, then yes, this person gets a better mark than that person, and that's correct to say. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when we add something on top of that and we start to either look down on others or to compete with others in a negative way, this is when this mind of pride is now becoming dominant. So it's really when it comes about independence on this exaggeration, then we have this mind of pride that's starting to now dominate within us.
Mm-hmm. 가고 말로다. 마을은 아재들이 갈당에서 콩으로 거다. 얘네 콩으로 끼. 재산 니 콩으로 끼. 가 콩으로 뭐 무슨 뇌현지 거로 와. 뇌현들 콩으로 수딩 끼단 콩으로 끼는 거다.
So then when someone says to us, oh, you really, for example, in the study situation, you don't study very well. You, in fact, you're a bit stupid and you're lazy. Then our pride starts to rise up. You know, how can they say that about me? And then when this pride comes, we tend to respond with anger, and we tend to perhaps verbally respond to the person, and not maybe in the gentlest of way. And this can also happen in the military context, where the military leader hears something that's being said by the other side, and their pride gets up. And then when their pride's up, then they get angry and they want to take action. Now, the only action they take is with their mouths, but it tends to lead to others to being sent into dangerous situations. And this all comes about because their pride has arisen, they got angry, and then they sent other people into danger.
Then Mijanda digi Sosolia and a jig Kabdera Majavache, Kabde Majovache, Kabde, Molo Majavache, Molo Majavache, and Koron, and Nanju Kanasheva Najin, Tikjo, anything on the Koron Gimbarwa, Koron Langbarwa. Mare, Mahanzu Naja Kisa Choro, Miss Yoro, Midigi Choron, Singi Minu Chichi Minuya, Len Maloba Yina, and a Koron Gimbare. 连几路人都说说到我们听不见，讲马听不见都看得见我的。现在外界见呢，人家民族看得见我的，别是那看得见别人吧，有嘛？俺就外界面的面呢，外界见的，面的个说说了呀，连几马路吧，人呢，说说到我的马听不见，那么久的马通话人呢，连外界见我的，你看得见我。但面的个那么久的段子，说说到我的，这个民族身边那么久段子，你能看得见我？
So if we think to ourselves, does anger always follow from the strong arisal or from the arisal of pride? And no, it doesn't have to. It depends how we deal with it. If we feel the pride arising and we deal with it before responding, that's one way. Or, of course, if it's a situation where we, for some reason, we feel we cannot respond in that situation, possibly depending who the person is, we then won't respond verbally or physically with anger. We would block that.
Then we
mentioned earlier how anger comes from pride and it comes from attachment. But so here now we can look at attachment, how this leads to anger. But also in the sequence, we often find that from this mind of a desirous attachment, pride comes and anger comes. So you can have the sequence of all three, or you can have the sequence of two from attachment straight into anger. So of these minds, attachment tends to be a root leading to the other two arising.
Yeah,
In the work environment, if someone is in a position of leadership or of management with people responsible for them, then often this mind of attachment can lead to this mind of pride, and from this anger can come, and then the communication towards others tends to be dominated by this mind of anger. So this can happen very often in a workplace. To make an analogy that's easy to understand, if you're out with some friends or maybe your partner and you're having a nice day out, and then you decide to go for lunch. Now you have in your mind, or you'd really like to go to this particular restaurant because you feel like this kind of food, but your partner suggests, oh, actually, let's go somewhere else, and it's somewhere you don't really want to go that day. Now you can get quite annoyed because of really wanting to go to a particular place, really wanting to do something yourself, really wanting to do something in particular. Then when your partner says, not that, this, let's rather do this, then very easily the anger can come because the attachment is not being fulfilled. And actually, if we look carefully, if these minds of attachment or pride, if we didn't have them, the mind of anger actually wouldn't arise anymore. And in fact, if we go back a little bit deeper, or look a little bit deeper, the pride itself, this comes from attachment. So if we didn't have attachment, there wouldn't be any resulting pride or anger. This is something that we can also see expressed on an international level between countries, where leaders, whether presidents or prime ministers, if they get into a quarrel, or when another leader says something that's not so polite, then immediately the pride comes up, and then they argue back, and this can be quite unsightly. Let's look at an illustration now to do with an elephant. So elephants have maybe you could say two classes of teeth. So we know their tusks, these ones which they show to the world, but they also have teeth inside their mouths which they use for eating.
Same
Sometimes with we hear very often in the world that leaders want peace and harmony in the world, and we hear this a lot in many meetings, how to establish peace and have harmony between countries. So this we hear about a lot, but mainly, well, there will be some world leaders who really maybe have this motivation of wanting peace between nations. Most have as their primary motivation, actually they're wanting a good situation and a harmonious situation within their own country. And they may be saying the words of wanting peace with all nations and all nations having good relationships with between each other. But the real motivation or the real concern is only about their own country and their own situation. So when it's when they're saying one thing or showing one thing to the world, but they have something else in terms of their real motivation, then they're very unlikely to achieve what they set out to achieve.
And this is the thing that because in the society we have the chakwa,
So this comes from having this dominant attachment for their own country, and that therefore is their primary concern, how things are within their own group, and not really thinking beyond that. And now maybe to go from the international level to our own situation again. So how does this having this presence of attachment lead to the destruction of harmony between people? So if we take a situation of a husband and wife, a boyfriend and a girlfriend, so they of course will have a loving and a close relationship and be in harmony together. But as is usually the case, people have a wider circle of people that they are close to and have good relationships with, and not just between the two partners. So if one partner then is maybe has a close relationship with someone else, then it's quite it's very possible that their partner could end up being very jealous about that. And this then comes about due to this mind of attachment being dominant and being strong. And from this mind of attachment, then anger will be expressed towards the other partner. So this is something that we've probably all either experienced or we certainly have seen for ourselves. It's very common in the world. So we've spoken quite a lot this morning about the faults that come from these minds, this mind of attachment, of anger, and of pride. So we've come to see that these only cause us difficulties and problems. So what can we do about this? How can we eliminate these minds?
Mm.
So to eliminate these minds that lead to all our problems and difficulties, these minds of anger, attachments, and pride, there are two stages in the elimination. One, which is to do with the short term, and the other is about the root, to get rid of the root of these minds. So if we again look at these three, anger, attachments, and pride, which we generally we call afflictions or afflicted minds or deluded minds. So let's talk first of all about anger. And so when anger is strong, how can one get rid of anger? To deal with anger in the short term, we need to have developed an awareness to see, in this situation I'm finding myself in right now, I can feel the heat of anger arising in me. So one's not yet angry, but one can feel the mind is going in this way. Then, if one can, the best thing to do is to remove oneself from the situation. So let's say it's a conflict between two people, then to try and say, okay, I need to take a few minutes and to remove oneself from the situation. So this is dependent on seeing the way your mind is moving, so that before anger is dominant in the mind, one can remove oneself from that situation. Because we do unfortunately find ourselves with some people that we really don't have a good relationship, and we just see them and immediately our mind becomes disturbed and agitated. And if that's the case, we need to remove ourselves from that situation, and so that we can relax again, our mind can relax again, and we need to then move our mind onto something else. So not thinking about that person, so that if we're physically apart from them, we need to make sure we are mentally apart from them as well. And then move our mind to something else and think about something else. And then anger won't arise. And similarly, to deal with this mind of attachment on a temporary basis, it's the same as with anger. So if, let's say, our mind is being, this mind of desirous attachment is being dominated either by an object we particularly want or a person, and we're thinking about this all the time and it's dominating our mind, then to try and bring peace and harmony and gentleness again to our mind, we need to remove ourselves from that object or that person, whichever it may be. And then not only physically remove ourselves from that situation, but to mentally separate ourselves and then engage mentally with something else, so that our mind then can be occupied with something other than whether this is this object that we really want to buy, for example, and we're thinking about again and again, or a person that we're thinking about continuously. We need to physically remove ourselves as well as mentally move ourselves to another object.
Now, 这个策划这个鱼的，咱一摊鱼来是兔年，鱼的过来，另外也策划另外另外有人咱过当么路面要水土用嘛的。
These methods I've just mentioned now, this is of course only effective in the short term. It will not lead to a long-term reduction in anger or in attachment.
就像电力的策划单，电力的工作单，电力的修全部来接的，刚刚听到。Then it does tiling that way. Then it does set toss to what George Lung, your set in Wabha, you talk. Then it comes to Chicky, Kira, Chicky, Shira, Tashavana, She, Diara, Shira, Dan. Then you go to Lung, the Yangazo, to Tian, and then the Mun the Uchumuski, the Uchumuki, and Chi, you go to Uchumu, and Injimin Chi, and the Lung to Tian, and in the park, I answered it.
So, like it was mentioned with the mind of anger, it's the same with the mind of attachment, especially when one's seeing that this mind is arising in us. If we then separate ourselves from the object and we move to think about something else, we'll be effective.This method will be very effective quickly. If the minds of certainly anger, but also attachment, if they're dominant in the minds, moving away physically is possible, but mentally disengaging is quite difficult. So we really need to try and be more aware of our mind so that before these minds become dominant, we can separate ourselves from the situation.Then when we separate ourselves from the situation, it's important not just to do this physically, but also mentally. So a very common and popular method is then to try and think about something else, such as, for example, just watching our breath. Because this watching of the breath is something that that tends to be very calming for the mind and relaxing for the mind, and it takes our mind very far away from where it was just a few moments before.
但是你了解，但居民人和早一年棉花水的，早晚上棉花水的第三档这样子水的，这个棉花肯定收回来才交了的。
So those illustrations were just about dealing with the problem on a temporary basis. So let's now talk about how we can eliminate the root of these minds.
那边呢，我这毛这呢，毛这原来小伙讲了，他那做饭的规定为呢，他的可在做饭他那宿舍啊，宿舍啊。到可能买不着的，开始水果的时候，十几斤买不着的，可能买不着，十块那就够了。你给嘛，他不接，可买不着，然后去掏买不着，然后来几个鸡蛋拿买不着，买不着嘛，这三毛大些，大的买不着，我都在买完下货都三毛还在当呢，你买不着才要买嘞。你像可能可做不可能租给的了吧？这种租现在几个，可能也看不见，租现在几个白去当些，可当我水果过来。
So, for example, if a window is dirty, the window will be dirty with dust. So, dust itself is form; it's matter. So, if we wanted to clean the dust off the window, we would again need to use form or need to use matter, whether it's water or cloth or something. So, we need to use something relevant. If we notice the window is dirty and we just sit here and think about, oh, it must be clean. I want a clean window.No matter how much we think about the window becoming clean, it's not going to become clean. So similarly, our mind is not form. So we can't change our minds or purify our minds or change our minds through burning them with fire or washing them or anything like this. Only mind can change mind.
So
And so how do we then utilize one mind to eliminate another mind? So if we take this mind of anger, what is the opposite of anger? It's a mind of love. So a mind of love here can be likened to, for example, the mind that a parent has for their child. So that mind of love is very different. It's completely opposite to the mind of anger. So these two contrary minds of love and anger, we have both of them within our minds. And which one of those two tends to ripen more easily or arise in our minds more easily tends to be the one that we have greater familiarity with. So if someone tends to find themselves getting angry a lot, then they will have great familiarity with the mind of anger, and that mind will therefore ripen much more easily. And conversely, if someone has a very loving disposition, then they will have great familiarity with this mind of love, and this mind of love will be present repeatedly and easily arise in their minds.
Now these
two minds, anger and love, they are contrary or contradictory. So if we strengthen the one, then the other will be proportionately weakened. Here, of course, the mind of love is something we'd much rather have as present and dominant within us. So if we cultivate and strengthen this mind of love, then this habit of anger, this will proportionately weaken.
Similarly to
an athlete who is certainly a very accomplished athlete, they will be physically have attained something quite amazing. Now they didn't start out as very fit and athletic people. They trained and they developed their bodies in this way, and they eventually are able to achieve something quite amazing in the sporting arena. So similarly with our minds, we have particular habits and predispositions and the like, but through training and cultivating our minds, we can make certain minds that we already possess that much stronger, and then conversely, other minds weaker. So we all now find ourselves with the minds of love and with the minds of attachment. And if we start to cultivate the mind of love through meditation, then this mind will slowly and progressively become stronger and stronger. So what this means is our habituation or our familiarity with this mind of love will grow stronger. And this means it will start to naturally arise in our mind and be more frequently present in our mind. And then conversely, the mind of anger will weaken.
And then
if we have developed our mind of love to a level where we are actually now quite familiar with it, and it's a mind that we can see is present frequently in our minds, then this mind of anger is not going to ripen, or is going to struggle to ripen, because the contradictory mind is present.
And the name
This mind of love. It's actually a very powerful mind and has a tremendous number of benefits. So we've spoken here about how it's directly contradictory to the mind of anger, and if we cultivate this familiarity with love, this mind of anger is going to struggle to be present. It's not a mind that we're going to suffer from anymore. Similarly, if we have developed a strong familiarity with the mind of love, these other harmful minds, this mind of pride and this mind of desirous attachment, these minds are going to start to be far less dominant in our minds because of the presence of love.
So we've
spoken about love and how this particularly helps to eliminate the mind of anger, but also has a very positive effect on attachment and pride. But let's look at this, how we can reduce this mind of attachment. Let's look at that a little bit more now. So the mind of attachment will always have something that you have attachment for. So some kind of an object, or whether it's a person or a thing, there will be some kind of an object. So if we then we this object, if we're looking specifically to try and find the aspects about it which are less favorable or the faults of it, and if we start think about those more, then the mind of attachment is going to, for that same object, is going to be that much weaker, because we aren't attached to a faulty thing or an undesirable thing. So if we start to see what's not so desirable in the object, then the mind of attachment will be weakened for it. So if we take an illustration of meat, so if we have a delicious meat dish here, so someone who's vegetarian will have a very different take on that meat dish than someone who's not. They would think about that this was a sentient being, this is the corpse of a sentient being. They'd also think about, meat can harm the body if it's not always so healthy. And they'll think about a various number of reasons why this object here, this meat dish, is not desirable. So such a person will certainly have no attachment for this meat dish before them.
Some
When we are angry ourselves, when our mind is dominated by anger, then it's very difficult for us to, of course, look at our mind and try and analyze what's going on there. So if we have got angry, it's important afterwards, once we have calmed down, to take the time and to investigate, so what happened there, what went on, and not just think about the external events, or the person said this, or the accident, that behavior, or my computer didn't work, or whatever external event went on, but to look at the mind. So how was my mind before I got angry? What was present in my mind before I got angry, and then investigate that to start to look for what was going on that then led to the anger arising.
So if
this isn't clear, let's make just a short illustration. So let's say we need to write something, and we're writing away there, and then our pen runs out of ink. So we've probably all had this situation where we now get a bit annoyed, and we take the pen and we throw it down, this stupid pen, I'm trying to get my work done and I can't. So the pen, of course, did nothing wrong. The pen didn't willfully run out of ink just to annoy us. So if we think about this, what was going on in our mind before I got angry? And then we see, I had this mind of attachment to wanting to get this job done, and maybe to doing it very well, or to doing it timelessly, or whatever. But I had this mind present, and because this mind of attachment was present in my mind, when this attachment wasn't fulfilled, I wasn't able to achieve the task in the time that I wanted, what happened? I got angry. So like this, we can then see the stages that our mind progresses to before things blow up. So if we take this method that's been presented today, in particular to look at our minds and to try and develop our understanding of what's happening within ourselves, within our own minds, we will see that it's really this attachment, this anger and this pride that leads to all our problems and the destructive ways that we often respond to situations. So really we have this as a cause of all our difficulties, these minds of attachment, anger and pride. And as we start to look in more detail, we will start to see when these are starting to arise and can deal with it. So we spoke a little bit today about how one can deal with it. We spoke about the situation of removing yourself from the object, calming the mind and the like. And within the religious context, the Buddhist context, there are many techniques that are presented so as to control the mind and to tame the mind and to pacify the mind and bring out the mind in a more gentle and harmonious way. But for those who aren't religious, then we spoke about today about watching the breath, removing oneself from the object. But really, the main thing here is to develop this habit of looking within our mind and seeing this mental process that leads us to reacting in unskillful ways, and then to try and deal with our mind so that we can change this way of reaction. In a similar way to how the government of each country has a responsibility to protect their citizenry, they'll secure the borders, they'll look after the situation within the country. Similar to that, we have a responsibility to look after ourselves, and in this context, in terms of our own our mental peace and our own mental welfare. So it's our own responsibility to look at our minds, and to do this at a time when our mind is calm and peaceful and we're undistracted, to see what happens in our mind and how we respond to stimuli, and how we can respond, how we sometimes respond in an unskillful way, and how we sometimes respond in a skillful way. And then we try and develop these virtuous minds and these more skillful minds, and in this way we can start to weaken the less skillful habit patterns that we have. So this responsibility of looking at our minds, in particular taking the time to do it when we're calm and we're peaceful, and taking that time for ourselves, in this way we can become more peaceful people, more gentle people, and happier people. So then, thank you very much for coming here this morning. Beyond this, I have nothing more to add today. So, thank you very much. Yeah.